I want you to look in your Bible, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. If you found your place, would you say amen?
Amen.
Would you stand, please, with me if you can? If it's hard to get up and down, understand that. But if you could stand, stand with me. We'll read two verses of Scripture beginning in verse number 17. And then we'll have a word of prayer together. Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none of effect. For the preaching of the cross to them that perish, foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Thank God for the preaching of the cross, beloved. Amen. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we indeed feel your presence. And we know your strength and we know your power today. I pray, Heavenly Father, right now, that you would come in conviction. Lord God, for those today that are hearing my voice, Lord, may they not hear just me, but they would hear from heaven today. Holy Ghost of God, we pray for these that are assembled in this room this morning. This can be a life-changing day. This could be a day that sin's power is broken. This could be a day deliverance is here. It could be a day, Lord, that those that are held in captive can be finally set free from sin, from alcohol, from drugs. Lord, whatever the addiction is, I know, Lord God, the Bible said that Jesus came to set the captive free. And so we pray today, Lord God, that you'd hear us. Move upon us today. Soften our hearts. Lord, thank you for Calvary and for the blood. Use us, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated, beloved. Hold your Bible open. I'll ask you to turn back to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27, in just a little bit. But I wanted to preach to you this morning on the message of the cross. And the cross, the journey to the cross and beyond the cross. The cross, beloved, has an impact on everyone. Everybody that's sitting here today, everybody in this world has been affected by the cross. For some people, the cross is the place that you found forgiveness. It is the place that you found deliverance. It is the place that you found peace and joy. And a home eternal. It is a place where a holy God and sinful man can be reconciled together. For some today, though, the cross is an emblem of disgust, of shame, of rejection. There's no middle ground when it comes to the cross. Either, my friend, you're on one side or the other. And so this morning, I want to take you down on a journey. If you'd be so kind to go with me, the journey that we'll go upon is not going to be a lovely journey. But our journey begins in the Gospel of Matthew and chapter number 27. There are three things that I want to point out to you today about going to the cross and then going beyond the cross. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, there are three things that I find that I study this. And I want to bring to you today, and they begin with the letter P. If you write and you take notes and you can follow me along. Would you look, beloved, in Matthew chapter 27 and beginning in verse 11. The first thing I find is Pilate's judgment hall. In verse number 11 of Matthew 27, the Bible said, "And Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest." When we pick up reading here, the lovely Lord Jesus has been through an agonizing night. He has lost sleep. He's been up all night in the Garden of Gethsemane. There in the garden, the Bible says that he prayed. And as he prayed, great drops of blood came from his brow and fell in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the early morning hours, as Judas has betrayed him, the soldiers come to arrest Jesus, to take him away. As he is led away, he is first led to Caiaphas, the high priest. As he enters into Caiaphas' hall, the Sanhedrin are present. They've heard his teachings. They've heard how he has declared himself to be a king. They have said to one another that he is preaching blasphemy. And so there in Caiaphas' hall, they began to examine him. But you see, the high priest and the Jewish Sanhedrin have no power to put him to death. And so instead, they drum up charges against him. They say that he is here to overthrow the power of Rome. And so they summon the soldiers and they issue him an order to be carried down to Pilate in the early morning hours of that fateful day. As they bring him into Pilate's judgment hall, he is accused of trying to overthrow the Roman Empire. Pilate begins to question him. And as Pilate begins to question him, he finds that he is a Galilean. Pilate says, "Since you are a Galilean, I'll send you down to Herod and let Herod deal with this problem." As Jesus is ushered from Pilate's hall over to Herod in the early morning hours. And I believe, beloved, it was on a Wednesday. As he is ushered into Herod's judgment hall, Herod is delighted to see him. The Bible said that Herod had a long time wanted to make his acquaintance. The reason being that Herod had heard about the miracles that Jesus had performed. And Herod said there that he had hoped to see Jesus, that he would entertain him and perform some miracle before his face. But there the Bible said, as Jesus entered into Herod's hall, Herod began to question him. Herod began to taunt him. And Jesus opened not his mouth. After a while, Herod saw that he could not prevail, and so he issues an order to have him taken back unto Pilate's judgment hall. The soldiers bring him in, and into Pilate's judgment hall. Back in his judgment hall, it is called the Praetorium. The mob has assembled outside. They're on the verge of rioting. This same Jesus that rode into Jerusalem 1 week prior Palm Sunday, as he rode into Jerusalem and they cried, "Hosanna," and they said, "Hail, he is our king." But now that same crowd is saying, "Crucify him." They have rejected the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Locked up in that prison in Pilate's Praetorium are other prisoners. We know that there are at least three. We know that there are two malefactors that are thieves that will be crucified in just a few short hours. But there is another man, a man by the name of Barabbas. And Pilate goes unto the people, and he says that it is a custom to release one prisoner. Which would you choose, Barabbas or Jesus? Let me stop and say a word about this man, Barabbas. This man, Barabbas, the Bible says, his name simply means Bar, meaning the son of Abbas. It is like Brother Larry Johnson sitting back there. His last name is Johnson. That simply means the son of John. Anytime you would find a person in the Bible,